As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
This is Mike Young and Love My Renovation Project. Welcome to the show. We're here to discuss anything and everything to do with renovating your home or 1 to 4 unit building. We've even renovated 8 unit buildings down to 4 unit buildings in order to meet the FHA requirement. So today's show is primarily for consultants, homeowners, and lenders. And anyone else involved with the renovation loans is welcome to call in. There seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking there is no work for them. Well, this is because you're not marketing yourselves as you should be. I was looking and I have 397 lenders that I work with, loan officers. And that's the thing. If you're working with one loan officer, you're probably not going to get the business that you think you need to get. So you're going to have to increase that. There's always plenty of work for anyone who wants it. You can go to 203ksoftware.com and sign up for our training course for only $489, and we'll show you what you need to do, and it works regardless of how many consultants are in the area, and actually, it works better with more consultants in an area. Fannie Mae added manufactured homes to their renovation products earlier this year, provided the refinance and purchase includes the land. And, of course, FHA has had it for many, many years. It's got to be built after June 15, 1976. So if you're a consultant, this could be a big addition to some of your business models. Just remember that in most states, it is required that you get local building permits as well as state permits when you're dealing with manufactured housing. So if you want to be part of the show today, you can call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and ask your renovation question. If you're a consultant or a lender and you've had an interesting project that you'd like to share with our audience, feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to have you on. Well, most 203Ks and homestyle renovation loans go without a hitch. From time to time, you find yourself with no one to talk to on your side of the equation that understands the 203K program. If you have a problem with your renovation project and don't mind discussing it on live radio, then please call in. If you want to do it privately, we have helped many people so far, and the initial call is always free. Contact us at www.203k911.com and let us know what your issue is about, and then we'll set up a time to call and give you the time you need to explain your situation and help give you some guidance as to what you may do. If that's all we have to do is guide you, there is never going to be a charge to you, so it's free all the way through. Only if you ask us to do it for you and get involved in a bigger way, there's a nominal fee that we charge. So if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to the website, scroll down to the message center, and send us an email or message. So today is primarily for consultants. Well, next week, we're going to start from scratch. 2019, and our first show in 2019, we're going to go with the homeowners and just kind of lay this thing out. So next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m., hopefully it's after your church for you. We'll be happy to get in there and tell the homeowner exactly what they can and can't do with the 203K. But it's a fantastic program. I fell in love with it when I first saw it back in 1994. And nothing's changed. It's still just as viable today as it was then. So we had an interesting call Thursday. A lender calls us and asks us if we could do the consulting on a project. They have the bids. The project is about $32,000, ready to close escrow, and they'd like to close tomorrow. So it goes in before the end of the year. Well, tomorrow would have been Friday. On the surface, it sounded like a pretty typical request. Yeah, it's typical of the lenders, many lenders, to wait until the last minute and bring the consultant in. I will tell you this. For us to do our job properly, consultants need to be the first call you make. Get us in there. We're going to bid that job and then create a help you create a scope of work and bid the job so that you can get an advanced notification of what is going to be the cost of that project. I mean, that's what it's all about. So if we tell you that project is going to be $100,000 and you got a bid for $32,000, it doesn't make any sense. And that's about what happened to this one. We sent one of our crew out there. They looked at the house and they said, this is easily a $100,000 plus job. There's no way. There's so many additions and so much work has been gone on over a period of years. They went the extra mile and went down and got a permit history, which is something I recommend any realtor worth their salt is going to get a permit history on the house they're trying to market or sell. They need to know what it is they're selling because they could be getting themselves into some big trouble, some big issues. So he went down and found out that there was never a permit taken out on this house for any of the work that was done after it was built. So we turned this job down. There's no way you're going to have it for 3 months, call us and wanted our services and a finished report the next day. That alone is a big red flag. Hey, guys, we don't need you. And a lot of lenders trivialize what we do. But what we do, I'll give you an example. I did a job in Marin County, 24-year-old lady buying her first home in an upscale neighborhood. The work she wanted to do came to $159,000. $159,000 was my bid, plus contingency of 10%. I did that bid in 4 days, which is pretty typical. 4 or 5 days is what we do for a job that size. Now what we do is we put that out to bid to her contractor. She said, don't get any more contractors. I don't need them. I have my own contractor. And after 4.5 weeks, their contractor came in at $298,000. So $159,000 versus $298,000 plus contingency. That's a big difference. So at that point, she asked me, hey, do you even know what you're doing? So I suggested we get another bid. And we did. And that job was done for $161,000. At that point, she realized and confessed to me, my contractor was going to rip me off. Yes, that's true. So how can I do that when you get everything done and you're holding it for 3 months and you call us and say, here's the bid, copy it. We don't get a chance to save the client any money. We don't get a chance to make sure the bids are fair. I mean, that's just not enough time to do our due diligence. So we have to do our due diligence in order to warrant our fee, okay? So anyone that would take this on for a next-day turnaround would be a fool. Anyway, that was that one. Wonder how many people out there, how many of you consultants are going to be at the ASHI conference in San Diego next month. So I was just throwing that out there, but if you could, send me an email if you want, mike@my203kconsultant.com, and let me know if you're planning to be there. I would be curious. We are putting together for early February some classes in Las Vegas. One is how to bid a project for the 203K and homestyle renovation mortgages without losing your shirt, how to market your services more effectively, and how to consult with your client. And then it'll be a 4-hour course, and the last hour is going to be Q&A, question and answers that you might have. So we had a swimming pool comment from a consultant. He says, can we call for a repair item on a swimming pool? And there is there still a $1,500 cap on those repairs? Well, yes, you can create a repair item for a swimming pool. And no, the limit has been removed. With FHA, you can now repair an existing swimming pool, whatever it costs. So if you've got a pool in the backyard and the gunite is cracked and has failed, won't even hold water anymore, you can clean that thing up, shoot some new gunite in it, and get it regardless of the cost, you know, provided it's reasonable. So not a doughboy above ground type pool. You're not going to be fixing them. So your next question came through. It said, hi, Mike. I was called to do a feasibility on a house last Friday, and it has a detached building, which originally was going to be a one-car garage and workshop. Which was originally a one-car garage workshop. It was converted to a party house with a bathroom and a bar. The borrower wants to convert it to a rental unit while she lives in the main house and rent this out. The main house was built in 1948. So there's a couple of things that come into play here. See, this particular house, I don't remember what city or state it was in, but in California, as an example, and I would say that California was probably leading the way in those days. Permits weren't even required in California till between 1952 and 1954, depending on the county. So if you can show that that room addition was done or that conversion was done before 1954 or 1952, whatever it is in your area, then it's probably grandfathered in, but it never had a kitchen, so it's going to be iffy. You're going to have to ask the county if that can be converted to a ADU, an auxiliary dwelling unit. And if they have no problem with it, HUD probably won't have a problem with it either. So if permits were not ever required on this thing, then it's grandfathered. But it doesn't sound to me like this was ever an ADU or a legal duplex. And you can't make that argument. I've won many cases where room additions were made without permits, but with a little research, we found out the addition was made prior to permits being required, and therefore their grandfather. Okay, their California permits, again, weren't required until 52 to 54. Some counties 52, some in 53, and some in 54. So you have to check with your county. So anyway, if you want to be part of the show, I have a question you want to put on the air with us, please call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We're going to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? Then you should know about the FHA 203K program. You can refinance your mortgage and get the money for that remodeling all-in-one low-interest loan. Need a roof? Remodel the kitchen and baths? Add a room? Any of this is possible with the FHA 203K program. Go to 203konline.com. That's 203konline.com. K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Call in again at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the program. And we're back with you. The guideline for specification of repairs states that the consultant is to assure there are no rodents, dry rot, termites, feather infections. There is a requirement for a termite clearance. Every 203K, according to the guideline, is supposed to have a termite clearance. That means you have to have a termite report, a wood-destroying organism report, if you would, in some states, WDO. I require a termite report on every 203K project as a matter of practice. Now, 203B loans, and a 203K is a 203B with construction. 203Bs no longer require a termite if you don't see anything that causes you to want one. But the guideline for 203K says that we have to ensure that there is no evidence of rodent infestation or termites or dry rot. So you better order one if you don't have one, if you're not a termite company. I had HUD called me a few years ago, about two or three, and said that it would be a conflict of interest for the consultant to do the termite report. And I said, no, it wouldn't be. And they said, no, we're not calling you to ask you. We're telling you it is a conflict. And I said, okay, I'm an engineer, and I can be the engineer on a 203K. In fact, you want me as an engineer on the 203K. So yes, we do. Okay, and if I was an architect, you'd be okay to do the drawings. Yes, of course, was their answer. But if you're a home inspector and you're a licensed 203K consultant and a licensed termite operator, you can do it. We're not going to do the work as the termite company. We're just going to identify the work. So I can see if you are going to do the actual work, you might have a conflict. But just to do the report and not do the work is not a conflict. So, anyway, if you're not getting a termite report or a WDO, wood destroying organism report on your 203Ks, I would hardly recommend you doing it. It's a very inexpensive inspection. It backs you up. I mean, in some of these houses, we're doing a $100,000 bid or a two or three. The largest one I've done lately is $529,000 in construction. $529,000 construction. We're going to be there for maybe a couple of hours at most, sometimes as little as an hour. And we have to identify everything that's possibly wrong with that house in that short of time. So it's always good to have another set of eyes on it. And if you have that termite come in, he's going to climb under the house and he's going to knock around and they're going to do some testing that you did, and maybe they're going to find a different answer, or they're going to see something you didn't see. I know one time they had a termite report, they had a home inspection, and then I did my 203K property inspection. And at the end, I said, we need to add this, this, and this other thing to the scope of work. And they said, wait a minute, we've already had a termite guy. He didn't catch it. And we had a home inspection, and he didn't catch it. How do you explain that? And I said, well, I can't explain why someone else didn't catch something. That would be foolish. But frankly, I did catch it, and it needs to be fixed. And I showed them where the repairs needed to happen, and they were shocked and dismayed that the other two services didn't catch something that I did catch. But we've been doing this thing for a long time. I was a home inspector for nearly 40 years. Only the last 24 with 203K, or 25 now. But that's the way it is. You know, I was a real estate appraiser, which was another high type of home inspection. Anyway, if you notice evidence of a rodent infestation, add a line to your scope of work. Once I saw a rat hole in a home, and the client said something like, "Oh, I can just picture little Fivel the mouse leaning up against that opening." And I really screwed up. I mean to tell you. I laughed and I said, "Ma'am, that is not a mouse hole. That is a rat hole. The rat that needs a hole that big to come in and out is probably larger than your cat." At that point, she screwed up. She screamed, brother. I screwed up. She screamed and ran out of the house and refused to look at the house and consider buying it. They had to go find her a new house. So I don't make those comments out loud anymore. I hope that the lender that did that one isn't listening, but I don't remember who that lender was, thank goodness. But the guideline actually says the consultant inspection must inspect the consultant must inspect the property to ensure, one, there's no rodents, dry rot, termites, and other infestation on the property. Well, dry rot is one word, is a name that termite companies or termite services have garnered as their own private word. It's not a word that we're supposed to use. We have to split it up into dry space rot in order for us to talk. He also has to make sure there's no defects that will affect the health and safety of the occupants. And we must be sure there exists adequate structural heating, plumbing, electrical, and roofing systems. And if there's any upgrades to the structure's thermal and that there are upgrades to the structure's thermal protection when necessary. Thermal protection, in other words, insulation. Now, there's nothing, if that house has any insulation in the attic, then you're going to report it that way, and you likely don't have to add any more, but we recommend that you do, and that's why you're doing a property inspection. You're going to put it right there in black and white. We recommend that you insulate this house. Insulation is an excellent way to spend your money. For every dollar you spend on insulation, you generally get it back 2 to 2.5 times. A year thereafter. So it's a foolish person that doesn't add insulation. Now, if your attic already has R30, great. But if it has R19 or R13, why not put some more in there and get it up to R30 or R38, which is what we're using now, and get it right. If this sounds like what you do, wonderful. If it doesn't, then you may want to revisit what you're doing. What I'm looking at, I review a lot of 203K projects, write-ups for my lender clients, where they didn't hire us to do the consultation, or they had another company, maybe another lender who is addressing this lender to fund the loans. So they ask us to overlook the, review the report and see if it looks adequate. And the most common thing we're seeing is that most of the new consultants are only turning in an SOR, scope of renovation, scope of work, and they're calling it a consultation. That doesn't get it by a long shot in my book. You need to consult. You need to talk to the clients. You need to put that scope of work together and bid that job before the contractor does. Now, sometimes you can't do that because they've already had a contractor. We have one lender that's what they tell everybody. Get the contractor out first. It'll make this go faster. Well, actually, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it doesn't allow the client, it's not fair to the client to get the bids first, although sometimes it happens. and we're okay with that as long as it doesn't happen every time. But the proper way to do this is to get your consultant out there first. Let us work up the scope of work. Let us give you a bid. So at least when you get the bids in from the contractor at 100, you know, we tell you it's 159,000 and they tell you it's 298, you're not getting shell shocked. But if they come in at 298 and you're resigned to using that number, and then we try to tell you, no, this is only a $159,000 project, you're trying to figure out what's happening. What's going on? Why do you say my contractor doesn't know how to bid the job? Well, he does. He does know how to bid the job quite well. Probably lives in a very nice house. Anyway, next consultant question we had. I've been paying a monthly fee to get access. To get access to information about the 203K and the Homestyle Loan Program. What do you charge and how often do you have a call-in session? Well, we don't do call-in sessions. We do one-on-one conversations with people who've taken our training. Our trainees have access via telephone whenever they pick the phone up and call us, and there's no extra charge for that service. Never has been. I don't expect there ever will be. I love the 203K and the Homestyle products. They're fantastic. Any home buyer should, I'm sure they'll find something about that house they don't like. Why not fix it right now before you move in? I mean, if the carpet's mediocre and you know you're going to fix it within the next year, let's just fix it now so you move your furniture in one time. Doesn't make sense, does it? Recently, I was researching consultant blogs, and I see there's a lot of consultants that are unhappy with the volume of business they're seeing. By far, the most effective way of getting new business is face-to-face seminars in front of smaller groups of people. 24 to 60 would be optimal. In our training program, we show you exactly how to lay that out. Another way to do it is lunch and learn. Lunch and learn programs that I've been to, many of them end up with 130 people there. That's not bad. Anytime you get 100 people to 130, the problem is they are one piece of the puzzle. I was talking in front of a group of 600 realtors. That wasn't my idea. I didn't put it together, and I wasn't told about it until after they had the 600 in the room and their corporate people didn't show up. They called me in a panic and said, can you come over and give this seminar? Well, I happened to be 10 minutes away, and I jumped in my car and went over there. I'm all out for helping people. But we would have actually cracked some orders and started some loans in that room if they'd have put more pieces of the puzzle in the room. Why would you have 600 of the same piece of puzzle? It doesn't make any sense. Yes, it is a great way to become an encyclopedia and disperse information. If that's what you want to do, hey, mail them a letter with everything in it. You don't need to have a group. But if you want to make some orders pop in the room, then let's get some buyers in that room. So let's get some investors that have houses they want to sell. Because as a loan officer, you're out there to make loans. And I don't think you care if it's a 203K or a 203B or a conventional loan. As long as you're making loans, you're making money. Okay. But in our training program, we explain exactly how to conduct this seminar in our training, which can be found at 203ksoftware.com. It's very disheartening when you see your training, a trainee is joining the conversation and complaining there's no work available. I'm telling you right now that I can go into any city in the United States that has at least a few people in there, and we can create, within 60 days, 40 203K loans. And I picked that out because one of our trainees did that in South Carolina years ago. The problem is nobody knows about it, so no one's talking it up. So the more consultants you have in an area, the more everybody's going to do because everybody's talking it up. We're getting it out there. We're getting the word out. So the more you have, the more it's happening. So don't complain that you have a lot of consultants in your area. Just be the best one in your area. And that's what our training does, if you will do it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, 99% people don't do it. We lay it out there, make it very clear exactly what you need to do and how to do it. And about 3 months, usually after they've taken our seminar, they come back to us and say, your seminar doesn't work. I haven't got any projects out of it yet. And I said, are you doing it every week like we said? He said, well, no, we did one seminar. I said, well, I got 3 loans in my very first one seminar. But it takes time to build this up, get the following. And you only done one seminar in 3 months? No wonder you're not getting any business. But my other question is it exactly the way I laid it out, or did you fix it? Oh, well, in that case, I fixed it. You had this, you did this that way, and I changed it. And you did this other thing this way, and I fixed it. And I said, it wasn't broken. Why would you fix something that you haven't tried or fix something that it isn't broken? And at that point, they realized, I didn't do it your way, did I? I said, no, you didn't. But your way seems so simple. And that's what it's all about. For all you people that are listening to me right now, keep it simple, stupid. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but it's the KISS principle. Okay, keep it simple, stupid. So, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from the audience. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did. K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203k911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Hey, here we're back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free, be part of the show. We are back with you. Let's go back to marketing for just a little bit. I know that consultants nationally are having trouble marketing their services. They think they should be getting a lot more business than they are. But if you're, everybody's got a HUD listing. And believe it or not, I call consultants regularly from that HUD listing. And if I did that every day, I guess there's probably 50% of the phone numbers are wrong. So look at your listing now and then and see if the information is correct. Because that's the only way, if you're waiting for HUD to give you a job, that's the way they do it. So John Jones, homeowner, wants to call in. I've got a 203K in Jonestown, New Hampshire. So I get on there and I look at the HUD list and I pull up Jonestown. There's nobody there. There's no consultant in Jonestown. So there may be five consultants within 3 miles of Jonestown. They don't show up in HUD search because HUD doesn't care whether you get business or not. It's up to you to market your business. The fact that they don't care, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not their job. It's not up to them to market your business. So you have to market. So the least you can do is make sure your phone number is correct. And I would recommend put your email address in. I saw that the other day. One of the guys had put his email address in there. And that's fantastic. I've got to get back and redo mine and add my email to my address. But this should put you back on track for marketing your services. I do the same seminar without any changes in rooms of 500 to 1,000. And I guarantee my lenders 50 loans within the next 30 days after I give a seminar. And typically we get 10 to 20 loans in the room at the time of my seminar. That's right. You heard me. I guarantee 50 loans. And in the smaller venue of 60 and less, it's quite often we can pull 10 to 14 loans a week out of a two-hour seminar. So if you're not doing the seminars, you're not marketing yourself. But there's a particular way we do it, and that is the difference. I mean, you can become a information spout, an encyclopedia, if you will, or you can do it our way and bring in orders in the room at the time of your seminar. So if you're doing a lunch and learn, you've got 130 people in there, but you have all of the components in there, we could probably put in 10 to 15 loans while you just paid for a lunch and learn, a couple hundred bucks to rent the hall and feed the people. Wouldn't it be nice if you walk out of there as a consultant with 10 projects? Maybe $10,000? The loan officer is going to walk out of there with 10 loans? Yeah, you're going to be their favorite consultant if you can learn how to market via that seminar. Even in our training manual, we explained that anyone who tries to do the seminar the way we have it laid out and then complains that it doesn't work, they've modified it. Gee, that won't work, so I fixed it. And we talked a little bit about this before the break, but that's a fact. I cannot tell you how many people have told me my seminar doesn't work, and yet I've been doing it successfully all these years exactly the way I've laid it out. There's no secrets there. I had one guy, one of my favorite trainees, let's call him Brad, and he lives close to where I was based at the time in Fairfield, California, and every morning he would meet me and we would go do 203K inspections together. And one time we did somebody asked us to speak at their real estate company. It's Keller Williams. And it was Mr. Keller that asked us there. So we did it. I didn't want to do it that way. I didn't like to do it that way because we have one piece of the puzzle. But we did. And I started choking and coughing as soon as I got up on stage. And Brad, I said, Brad, come here. Start the seminar. I got to go get some water. And I took off stage. People trying to hand me water, and I just passed them and got around the corner where I couldn't see. And Brad took off and started doing the seminar. Well, he'd been with me for 6 weeks. He'd given the seminar before. I mean, he'd seen me give it before. But he was always saying, "No, I think I need to see it one more time." And that's what happens. Consultants are afraid, but you have information that those people don't have. Don't be afraid to stand up and tell them about that information. And we have a very thought out program for doing that. So if you're not marketing, or you're marketing yourself and you're not getting the jobs you think you should be getting, you need to sign up for our training if you haven't already. And if you have, revisit it. Call me. Let's talk about it. We'll figure out how to get you off and back on track. So anyway, Brad sat there, and after about 5 or 10 minutes, I peeked around the corner, and he looked at me, and he pointed at me and grinned, because I told him in week one that when I think you're ready to give the seminar, I will choke and cough and get out of the stage and leave it for you to finish. And he realized he had been had, that he had got caught in the very web that I spun in front of him. He did a great job, by the way. He did a fine job. Everybody came up and congratulated him later. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, that was pretty cool. Too bad you couldn't have given it. I said, why? He did an excellent job. One time I was at a home inspector meeting in Berkeley at the marina, and we were supposed to be talking about lead-based paint. This was years ago when lead-based paint inspections were getting more and more prevalent. I get there, and I'm sitting in the room when the guy hosting the meeting at that home inspection group comes over to me and says, Mike, our lead-based guy is sick or got in an accident on the way here or something. He can't be here. Can you get up and talk to these people about 203K? And I said, you look like you got a full house. He says, oh, yeah, we got more than usual. And I said, these people came to hear about lead. So I was sitting with a friend of mine who had just taken a course on lead-based paint and using infrared. And I said, why don't we make it the same topic that they came to hear? And I had Joey get up there, and she did a wonderful job. Cold turkey right off the floor. She didn't expect to be talking at a meeting with that many people in the room, but she did a fantastic job. And that's the kind of people I surround myself with, is people who can get up and do that on the spur of the moment. And the people in the audience found out that the original speaker had passed and that she had gotten up there impromptu, no prep, and put on a wonderful talk for the hour or whatever half hour that they had to talk. But they were all impressed. So, as they should be, she knew what she was talking about. Okay, let's see. One of the biggest problems that we see with new consultants in marketing themselves is, who do they market to? Well, I'm not going to tell you who to market to, but I'll say it this way. Lender is supposed to pick the consultant. The lender is supposed to pick the consultant. Now, if the homeowner comes with a consultant, the lender's probably going to pick that consultant, unless they've had bad experience with it. So, this may be where a lot of you are falling flat on your face. We market to 5 different sources. 5 different sources. We don't market to one source. Yes, we market to lenders, but we also market to homeowners. And we market to 3 other sources that I'm not going to give away. It's in our advanced marketing program. Our basic training gives you a very strong marketing program, one that's able to pull 10 to 14 loans a week out of a 2-hour seminar. Take charge of it. But if you don't want to give that 2-hour seminar every week, our advanced marketing program teaches you how to put it on in a bigger venue with 500 to 1,000 people and knock down 50 loans and give it once a month. You know, we had 15 W-2 consultants on staff and 19 real estate appraisers at the same time. So we had, 34 employees that worked on computers in my office. We kept track of the software that way. Today, it's not a problem. We put the software out there. People are buying software all the time. So I'm glad to see some of you are going that extra mile to find out, how can we do this? But our advanced marketing program is not free. We do sell it, and it's sold on 203ksoftware.com. And we'll show you all 5 marketing sources and a program to gain market share in your market. If you follow these instructions, you'll be successful in your marketing efforts. I must tell you, I do not babysit anybody. The other day, somebody told me, well, I bought your thing. I went through 3 months of sepsis recently, this year, from August, September, and October, and half of November, late August through half of November. And I had sepsis. I nearly was dying. And somebody has just said, gee, you don't have any follow-up. Well, I'm not a babysitter. This is a business decision. If you want to become a consultant, you have to want it. And you have to tell me when you're floundering. But you also have to follow instructions. Instructions are read, starting in this folder, and it says start with this folder. You open that folder, and it says start here. Click and read this. I mean, it's pretty simple. And if you haven't done that, how is it I didn't follow up? Okay, I'm not a babysitter. When you realize what you're doing, and you read, and you have questions, feel free to call us. We're happy to spend the time, the extra time that it takes for some people. Not a problem. Let's see. There's no instant marketing program. You must put in the hours to market your business. We'll work with you hand in hand as long as you're calling us. And there's no additional charge for those calls. Okay, so next week, again, we're going to go back to the basics and start. For homeowners, we encourage homeowners, if you've got clients that you want to hear the seminar and you don't know how to present it, dial in. If you want the paperwork, just let me know, and it's on our website right now, 203konline.com, handy PDFs, basics. But when you give it, I show you a different front page that will make you more effective. All right, so we're going to take our last break for today. So call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport. And you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Back with you. Glad you're still here. If you'd like to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. We had another question that came over. See, I have a home with lots of obvious additions and changes to the floor plan. How do I know if these were done with permits? Well, that's a very good question, and we recommend that any seller's agent who's about to list a property go down and get a permit history from the local county inspection department, or if the city's big enough, the city inspection department. When I was an appraiser, we always asked the client to obtain a permit history from the local jurisdiction. A permit history will tell you all the permits, every permit that's ever been taken out on that house from day one. It's very good information to know, and I think it's mandatory for a realtor to know that information if they're listing the house. you don't want to sell that as a four-bedroom house. In fact, in San Pablo, California, if they find an addition that wasn't permitted, they make you remove it. And we had that happen. We discovered a very poorly done room addition. And I also discovered the water heater outside the house with no shed around it. The building inspector came through, and at my suggestion, I asked the clients to have a code compliance inspection by the local jurisdiction. And they came through, and they told them that last bedroom and bathroom have to come out. I mean, remove it. And when it's all gone, we'll inspect, and then you can come down and apply for permits to add a bedroom and a bathroom. But they missed the water heater being on the side of the house. It was only, I think there was 3 feet or 5 feet on that side of the house before the fence, and somehow they missed it. They were tickled that I got it, and they added it to their list right away. But I said, come on, you guys. Can't we work together with this and get this thing? Can't we just open up the drywall and let you see the electrical and just kind of do it that way instead of making them tear down the whole thing? I don't think they allowed us to do that. They wanted it removed. That's their policy. So it's best to have that code compliance inspection if your local authorities do that. That way you know exactly what's code, because the home inspectors typically don't worry about code. We're worried about health and safety more than code. Many home inspectors are code inspectors, but many are not. And we are taught not to mention code when we find an infraction. We just talk about it being an infraction or a violation of local standards. But code compliance inspection, if they have them available in your county or city, I would recommend it heartily. It tells you what they're going to call. Because if we should miss it, it goes back to having more eyes on the project when you have a big issue. But if we miss it, it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. It means that you have to do it with more money. So you can use your contingency reserve, but sometimes that's not enough if they've forgotten a lot of things. If the realtor has not done their homework, thinks they're selling a four-bedroom, two-bath house, and it turns out it's only a three-bedroom, one-bath house, it's not going to make their client very happy, seller or buyer. Lots and lots of cities are making you tear down the illegal additions and come back and get a permit and do it the right way, the proper way. We had one city that allowed us to come in and remove drywall around the outlets, and they came back out there and they wanted more drywall removed. And while they were on the job, we got a phone call. The client got a contractor, got a phone call. He said, is our inspector so-and-so there? Said, yes. Don't do anything that he's telling you to do. He's sick. He's gone off the deep end. And we're sending the ambulance there to pick him up now. And they took him away to the funny farm. Apparently, he was having people do all kinds of strange things. But anyway, we had another homeowner question to come in a little while ago. Can we add a bathroom to our home using the 203K program? Well, yes, absolutely. In fact, that's probably one of the most often uses reasons for a 203K in the first place. You can do a room addition, or, you know, your family has outgrown your home, and need another bedroom and a bath. You can certainly add that. We just did one in Oakland that was beautiful. They put a second story on their home. But they gutted it. They didn't like the way the interior was laid out at all. And when the finished house came through, it had a big, great room in the entry and a bathroom. Don't recall if it had a bedroom downstairs. They did originally had two bedrooms downstairs, but I think they moved all the bedrooms. Two bathrooms upstairs and kept a half bath downstairs for the guest bath. So if you want to know what you can do or shouldn't do with the 203K, go to 203konline.com and go scroll down to the handy PDFs. We have one there called Basics, and that was about five pages of easy reading. be able to knock it out in 20 minutes or less, 10 minutes maybe, depending on how fast you read. And there's also another one there called Procedure that tells you the right procedure. Every loan starts with a lender getting approval, getting your lender approvals for the loan, so we know how much money you can borrow. Then the realtor goes out and shows you the houses that are in that price range or below that you can use to, that plus the construction and the maximum that your lender suggested, if you want to go that high, be your loan amount. Another homeowner question. There seems to be a shortage of available housing in our area. Can we buy a house and add on to it at the same time? Yes, again, that's exactly what's going on. With all the fires in California recently, if there's so much as a viable foundation, that's a question. It may not be. It may have gotten too hot and ruined the foundation. But if there's a foundation there, we can build a house on it. But if you have a house and it's a nice house, but it's just too small, you can add on to it. You can do that at the same time and with the one loan that covers the construction and the purchase of that home. And that's pretty cool. Another question came in from a homeowner. We have an unfinished basement. We live on a hillside and the entire back wall of the basement is above grade. Can we finish that basement and make it a living area with the 203K program? Yes, you can. Again, I love these questions from the homeowners. And to answer your question, you're absolutely right. You can do it a couple ways. You can put an ADU down there, auxiliary dwelling unit. Or you can put in a, make it a duplex if zoning allows. Or you can make additional living area, make a rumpus room for yourself, or a couple more bedrooms if your family's coming back to live with you. I hear there's a lot of young people that moved out, got on their own, and life has not been good to them, so they move back in with mom and dad, so there's a place there for you too. That last question made me think of a project we did in El Cerrito Hills. There are lots of hillside homes there, but when you walked into the houses off the street, you walked into the living room. Now, then you walked toward the back of the house. The kitchen was at the back of the house. It had a wonderful three-bridge views. This one we did in El Cerrito, the clients had a vision. So we moved the kitchen up to the front of the house, made a hallway that took them back to that back part of the house, the living room, bathroom, and the bedroom. But they put the whole black wall, now became a glass wall, even for the master bedroom. And in the master bedroom, they actually took it around the corner. They had a corner wall with no seam glass coming to glass. So there, you had a masterful view, what we call a three-bridge view. You got to see the Golden Gate, the San Francisco Bay Bridge, and the San Rafael Bridge, all from there. And my engineer is waving frantically that we are up against the wall, up against the clock. So thank you for being with us today. Join us next Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're broadcasting now from Las Vegas, Nevada. So love it. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.